What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here, and I am super excited to tell you that we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Medgene. It's a new day in animal healthcare, and Medgene is wide awake. Medgene is the first USDA-licensed producer of prescription platform vaccines. Medgene's prescription platform vaccines help veterinarians in the swine, cattle, deer, and rabbit industries respond faster and more efficiently. Learn more about Medgene's prescription platform vaccines at MedgeneLabs.com. That's MedgeneLabs.com. Or better yet, follow Medgene on Facebook and LinkedIn. Medgene, it's a new day in animal healthcare. What is up, everybody? This is Dr. Joe Armstrong. Today, we are finishing up our series on H5N1 biosecurity for now. This is part three. There are two other parts. I encourage you to go find them and listen to them. A lot of what we talk about will make a lot more sense once you have the context of both of those episodes as well. All right, I promised that we would pick up with professional services visiting your farm and recommendations for them. To me, there's two categories here. We have to separate them into direct animal contact. So that would be people like your veterinarian, your hoof trimmer, your nutritionist sometimes. People that have direct animal contact have a different set of requirements compared to those that don't have direct animal contact. When we talk about direct animal contact, what we mean is contact with animals, animal products, deceased animals, or animal waste. So there's a lot of people that have direct animal contact that are not going to be in the pen with the cows. So it's super easy to identify some of the people that have direct animal contact. Your veterinarian is in with the cows, touching the cows in the pen. Your hoof trimmer, touching the cows, that is direct animal contact. But direct animal contact also means animal products, animal waste, or deceased animals. Your milk hauler, who is working in the parlor and working with an animal product, milk, has direct animal contact, even if they do not enter a pen or work directly with animals. The same can be said of your manure hauler. That is an animal product or waste, however you want to look at it. And while they may not be in the pens with cattle and they may not be touching cows, they have direct animal contact. The same for the rendering truck. They are working with deceased animals, so that is direct animal contact. Okay, let's get into what are the recommendations for those people. If a farm is infected and known to be infected or dealing with the issue, that location should be the last location visited. Professional services with direct animal contact should clean and disinfect vehicles and equipment between farm locations. That's not always possible. That's why it's so important to go to the known infected farms last. In addition to that, those professional services should change personal protective equipment or clean and disinfect personal protective equipment between farms. So what is on that list of personal protective equipment that we should be changing? Well, definitely coveralls, boots we can clean and disinfect. We should be getting rid of our disposable gloves. Head coverings is one that we don't think about very often, but if you think about a ball cap, especially for working in the parlor, it has the potential to pick up all sorts of things that we don't want to take between farms, especially when we're in a farm that is dealing with an issue. And then eye protection. If you're wearing safety glasses or some sort of eye protection, that should probably stay on farm or at least be cleaned and disinfected between farms. And then lastly, we have to think about protecting ourselves a little bit as well, but also carrying things to our vehicle. So ideally, we should be washing our hands and or cleaning and then using a hand sanitizer on our hands before we leave the premises, before we leave the farm. All right, let's talk about professional services that don't have direct animal contact. It is kind of difficult if we think about all the different personnel that are on a farm that are working on things and professional services. And in a lot of cases, they're going to have direct animal contact in some way because of just the nature of where the work gets done. Potentially, there's going to be professional services that do not have direct animal contact, such as pest control, electricians, or plumbers, but it depends on where they're doing their work. If the plumber is working in the milk house, then they have direct animal contact because they're working somewhere where there is raw milk. If the electrician is working on fans in the pens where there are normally cattle, I personally would count that as direct animal contact because of the amount of manure that's in that pen and where they have to walk to get there. If the pest control person that's working on your farm walks the perimeter but does not enter the milk house and maybe only goes into the office and never enters a spot where animals are housed, then they do not have direct animal contact. But if they go into the milk house to do their job, if they go into a pen or they walk through a pen to get to where they need to be, I would consider that direct animal contact. So hopefully those examples help you figure out what we're talking about and the differences between direct animal contact and no direct animal contact. Now, the recommendations for professional services that do not have direct animal contact, it's not all that different other than some of the PPE or the personal protective equipment that we're recommending. So professional services without direct animal contact should wear boot covers that can be thrown away before they leave the farm, or boots that can be cleaned and disinfected before they leave the farm. Then also, for professional services without direct animal contact, they should wear disposable gloves that can be thrown away before they leave the farm, and they should wash their hands or clean their hands and use a hand sanitizer before leaving the farm. So this is probably the trickiest group of people, the professional services that have direct animal contact and the professional services that do not have direct animal contact, and teasing out what we're asking of them. I think one of the biggest cutoffs and challenges is whether or not these people that are coming to your farm are in the milk house or the parlor. And what I think about is potentially some of these supply companies. There's plenty of supply companies that bring materials to the farm on a regular basis. And because of some of the materials they're supplying, they do need access to the parlor and sometimes the milk house. It might be worth it because of how much they are going between farms to say, you know what, maybe you should leave that stuff just outside the milk house and I will take care of getting it where it needs to be from there. But if they're going to enter the milk house or the parlor, that's direct animal contact because of their proximity to raw milk. And they probably should be wearing more personal protective equipment than just boots. And especially, I think coveralls become an important piece of that because it protects the clothing and it gives you something that you can change out quickly between farms and limits the amount of material that you might be transferring between farms. I think one of the examples that fits really well with this that you may not think about is a technician that's there to service your parlor and or milk house in some way, including if you have robotic dairies. If someone's there to do something on a service level that involves anything that could put them in contact with raw milk, that is direct animal contact, and we need to treat them like they have direct animal contact. Sometimes that guidance has to come at the farm level because you're protecting yourself and you're protecting your community and your industry. And sometimes these companies are not thinking about those things at the same level that you might be. So I think you have to advocate for yourself and approach the situation tactfully, but ask for what you need. I think we've hammered that subject pretty good. Let's move on to shared personnel, because this is one of the things that is identified in the epidemiologic reports that is a risk factor for infected premises. I think the easiest thing that we can do that reduces our risk associated with shared personnel is have dedicated personal protective equipment for each farm location, including coveralls, boots, gloves, head coverings, which includes ball caps or stocking caps, and eye protection. Ideally, personnel would also change clothes between farm locations. That's the ideal world. And ideally, they would shower in between farm locations. The practicality of that, debatable. I think it becomes a must if you have a farm that is known to be infected, if you are unaware of any issue on any of the farms that those shared personnel work at, then you can probably be okay with just dedicated personal protective equipment but it would be ideal if we were showering and changing clothes between farm locations as well. Now, there's all other things that apply to shared personnel. Well, we've covered a lot of them in our previous episodes, such as having a dedicated parking area and having a clean driveway. There's a lot of other things that play into having shared personnel recommendations that we're not going to list again here. Okay, I think one of the other things that I get questions on is, well, I've got animals at home. How do I manage that? And it is something that we need to think about, because this is not only going to impact livestock at home, but has the potential to impact your pets as well. So when you come home from a farm, in the ideal world, you would leave all of your personal protective equipment that you used while you were at work at the farm location, so that you're not bringing that equipment home with you, including coveralls, boots, gloves, head coverings, which includes ball caps and stocking caps, and eye protection. If you have to bring that stuff home for whatever reason, it should be cleaned and disinfected at the farm before you leave. Do the basics, wash your hands or clean your hands as much as possible, and use a hand sanitizer before you leave the farm. And then if you do have animals at home, especially livestock or poultry, we want to treat your home farm or your home animals as a separate operation. And you want to think of yourself as shared personnel between two operations. So you should have dedicated personal protective equipment for your home farm to lessen the chance of transferring things between operations, your home operation and your work operation. In addition to that, if you have clothes that you wore at work, in the ideal world, you would wash those as soon as you got home and change clothes before going to work with your own animals or interact with your pets or family members. That's ideal. Is that going to happen every time? Are you going to get home, change into your new PPE, and get right to work? That's probably going to happen a lot, and I understand that. So as long as you have dedicated PPE, personal protective equipment, for your home operation that is separate from your work operation, I think that can work in most cases. What changes is if your work location or your home location is known to be infected, then things change and it becomes a must that you need to shower and change clothes before going between farm locations. Your home farm and work, or your work farm and home. In addition to that thought process, we really want to treat our house, our home, as a separate location. So personal protective equipment that you're using at your home farm should stay at the farm, air quotes, can't see me, but air quotes, at the farm. And you should try to treat your home as separate as possible. And ideally, when you're done working and doing chores for the night, you come into the house without any of your PPE that stays at the farm to keep things as separate as possible. You put your clothes in the wash right away and you take a shower before you interact with your family and or pets. Is that going to be perfect every time? No, but I think we can get into good habit of keeping our PPE at least, including our boots, coveralls, head coverings, and eye protection and gloves separate from the home as much as possible. It really only becomes an absolute must that you must wash your clothes and take a shower before interacting with your family and pets if you know you're working on an infected premise. Okay, we're moving on. We've got cats and dogs up next. We're going to say this tactfully, but knowing what's going on with the interaction between peri-domestic species like feral and barn cats and this virus, we really need to keep feral and barn cat populations to the fewest animals possible. We should, if at all possible, easy to say, harder to do, keep interactions between cats and dogs and cattle to a minimum. We definitely want to keep cats and dogs away from areas where they could have contact with raw milk, including the milk house and the parlor. We do not want cats hanging out in the milk house. They want to, especially in the winter because it's nice and warm in there, but they got to stay out. Ideally, we would keep cats and dogs away from dead stock and manure storage. Again, the easiest way to do that is to make sure the population is in check rather than trying to keep cats and dogs completely away from those areas, because that's really difficult to do. And here's a big one to protect yourself and your family, is that if you know there are cats and dogs that have contact with raw milk, manure, dead stock, they should stay out of the home. They got to stay outside. Don't bring that in to where you have other pets in the house and or family members that could have an issue. All right, I'll leave it there. And I think we're going to learn a little bit more about paradomestic species and their role in this as we move forward here. And we might be able to change some of the recommendations, or they might get tweaked a little bit, but that's where we're going to leave it for now. So here's the last category in all these recommendations, and it's wildlife and pest control. And this is where I think it's pretty difficult to make very specific recommendations because of the difficulty in doing some of the things that we're trying to do in this category. It's very easy to say minimize cattle contact with birds and other wildlife as much as possible. What does that actually mean? It's really difficult. You know, when we talk about some of the strategies that different industries use to keep birds away from their premises, it is incredibly difficult to implement on a dairy, largely due to the cost, right? It's just too expensive to put in some of these technologies. You can't afford to do it. But farmers are creative and they understand their own farm and their own system. And I'm counting on that creativity and that ingenuity to figure out ways to get to the end goal of minimizing cattle contact with birds and other wildlife as much as possible. I can't get more specific in that, and I'm sorry, but I'm counting on farmers to figure that one out, because it's going to change from every operation to operation, and they know their operation best and how to get that done. The same thing applies to minimizing bird and other wildlife access to feed and water as much as possible. Incredibly easy to say, incredibly difficult to do, but again, I'm counting on farmers to know their operation and figure out how to work towards that goal. All right, let's get to a more tangible thing. Okay, spilled feed anywhere on the farm, including excess feed around bunks, should be cleaned up as soon as possible. I think you'll be happy with doing that, even if you don't think it's a huge deal for H5N1, because it's going to change the amount of flies on your farm drastically if we continue to especially clean up organic debris around the bunks. That is fly heaven. But it also limits the amount of wildlife that are then drawn to those areas around the bunks where they have close contact with your cattle. And then lastly, this kind of goes along with the cats section. We need to have a rodent control program that does not involve cats. Cats can be an important part of a pest control program, but it should not turn into an excuse to have a million cats on your farm. And with that, we have wrapped up what I think are the basics for biosecurity at this time for H5N1 for dairy producers. There is a lot to think about. I hope splitting it up into three parts and having three episodes helped it be more digestible. I'm always available for questions and comments. Please send those, or scathing rebuttals. Sorry, I forgot that. Or scathing rebuttals. You can send those to the Moose Room at umn.edu. You can also call me and ask questions. Leave scathing rebuttals or comments at 612-624-3610. Please check out our website, extension.umn.edu. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will catch you next episode.